He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Don Bain, and of course, I am the Gadget Professor. We're coming at you live and totally in color from our Prescott, Arizona studio. Welcome, everyone. We're on show number 580. Interesting show for you today. I have two extremely esoteric gadgets. You probably don't even know these exist, but if you are in a pinch and need either one of these devices, you're going to be glad you know that they do exist. One is an Ethernet switch, and it's a very interesting device. And it works two ways. You can either bring in one Ethernet supply line, if you will, from an ISP, and that will provide power, if you will, Ethernet juice connectivity to either computer A or computer B. Or you can use it in the reverse, like I do. You have two ISPs, and you're providing one computer, either A or B ISP. It's very confusing. I'll try to explain it to you. And then the other device that we have is a Toslink splitter. And a Toslink device, or a SPDIF device, is a light transmitting audio device, if you will, that's on the back of probably every single HDTV out there. And you always want to try to use the optical output to supply the audio to your speaker system, because it's going to sound so much better because it's totally digital. And then at the end of the show, I go on a rant about the airlines. I am fuming about this one, so you might want to watch that. Actually, you might not want to watch it. So let us begin. The day is right here in front of us. It's a two-port RJ45 gigabit Ethernet switch splitter selector box. Now, this can get real confusing real quick, but let me try to make it easy for you here. You'll see two switches on top here. We can call this A or B, or it's actually labeled 1 and 2. Okay, so let's forget about that for the time being. But just keep in mind, you got either device 1 or device 2. Down here, you're going to see three Ethernet port jacks, if you will. So you can take one input, so this is the jack, if you will, the Ethernet cable, if you will, that comes out of your switch or your modem, okay, and that's feeding it. Now you have two cables here. One can go to computer A, and one can go to computer B, or computer 1 and computer 2. So let's review that. You have input here, okay, and that could be from the Ethernet switch box or your cable box. Okay, this is going to supply the Ethernet to wherever it is you want to go. Now over here you have, let's say, computer A, and here you have computer B. We'll call them 1 and 2. By switching whatever switch you want, if you want computer 1, you're going to click this and it's going to go out of here into 1. If you click 2, it's going to come out of here and feed computer 2. So that's pretty straightforward. Now, to make you crazy, it also works in the reverse, which is what I'm going to use it for. I have one computer and two different Ethernet jacks, if you will. I have two different ISPs. Okay, one is called Sparklight and one is called T-Mobile. From time to time, I need to switch between those two providers depending upon what I'm doing. If I need a lot of bandwidth, I'm probably going to go with the Sparklight. If I don't need a lot of bandwidth and I'm just streaming or whatever, I will probably use the T-Mobile, so I can let the rest of the house get fast internet speed and do their rendering like I have to do in the studio while other people stream. So what I am going to do is just the reverse. I am going to have one computer, which is going to feed right out of here into my computer, into the Ethernet jack, and then I have ISP1, which we'll call T-Mobile, on the one, okay, and then the output, or I should say the input on the other one, is going to be Sparklight, and that's going to feed the other position here. So now I can switch between the T-Mobile and the Sparklight. Let's take a look at that and we'll open it up. I know it seems weird, but actually it's not that bad. So this is the box. I will point out your instructions are in, I believe, Chinese. Can't read it. But one thing I'll give them credit for, they've got an easy pull-apart box. And you know, I hate those ones you got to cut with a razor, but this just pops open just like it should, okay? And this is going to pop out. We have various diagrams and instructions to other components that they make. And then right here is the actual instruction book. You're going to want to use the pictorials that basically show you how this works. So that's that. The actual device is right here. It is very cheap, crummy, junky plastic, but you're not going to be moving this around that much. You can mount it on the wall. There's two points there where you can put a screw in the wall and actually hang this if you want. And then, of course, here's your switch one and two, and you'll hear these do click. So you know you've made connection. On the back, again, it's real simple. The input-output jack is here, and then we have two other component jacks, input jacks or output jacks, to do the actual switching. It's $15, $15.79. If you need it, man, you need it. And a lot of people don't even know that this works. And again, it can work either way. You can feed one computer, two different internet providers, or you can use it in the reverse. You also can take one ISP and have it hit either computer A or computer B, in this case, computer 1 and 2. All right, now that I've thoroughly confused everybody, here's our next device. And I did not know that this existed. I figured it did, but here was my dilemma. I hooked up, and I'm going to show you this setup in the next week or two. Downstairs here, I mounted a TV, a giant one, 75 inches up in the ceiling. It was like, it took me like 2 months to plan it out and 20 minutes to hook it up. I overthought the process, which I typically do. But it came out real nice. In any event, I like using the digital optical outputs on the back of any kind of device I have. I always prefer digital if I'm running sound. I want to use that digital cable that's what's called SPDIF, SPDIF, your SPDIF cable or your Toslink cable. Really, it's a digital audio output. That's going to give you high quality digital sound. You don't want to use the jacks anymore. I mean, you can, but try to keep it all digital. In any event, if you take a pencil or a pen and push the back on your TV of where the SPDIF is or your digital audio output, you'll actually see it lighting up red. And that's actually a laser, and that information is transformed digitally through that light. So typically there's one output on that, and it goes into one device, like a soundbar. I have two soundbars. Why do I have two soundbars? Well, we've kind of sort of reviewed this. I've got one that's going to go into the Sonos, which goes through the whole house. I have another device, which I use, which is called Zvox. It's a very small speaker. I've shown it to you, and that's primarily used so that I can understand the words that are being spoken, because I do have some issues hearing speech. This particular Zvox speaker, in fact, all of them actually amplify the human audio spectrum, which is 15 hertz to roughly 15 or 20,000 kilohertz. That's what you can hear. Now, if you're a dog, you can hear much higher. The Zvox makes some pretty cool things. I'm also in process, while we speak, testing out some of their hearing aids that they have, and we'll do a review of those in a couple of weeks when I'm done testing them. But I actually have those in right now, and I can hear myself. I don't know if that's good or bad. Anyway, let's take a look at this particular device. Very interesting. This is similar in nature to what I just showed you. This is a splitter for a Toslink cable. So it's very small, it's made out of plastic, but you are able to put in one feed for example, from the TV, and the output will be two feeds. So I have one going to the Sonos, and I have one actually going to that Zvox speaker. And this works real well. So now you have the ability to actually go ahead and split that optical signal. This particular device, I don't know if you caught it here, let me go back, does require a power supply, as you could see there. The other device did not. So you need the power supply to provide the proper voltage amplification this particular device requires. So there's two different converters, if you will, that are out there, one for Ethernet and one for the audio speedif, both very important to all the things that I hook up, and I use them all the time. So if you're ever in a situation and you need two jacks and you only have one, or two outputs and you only have one, high probability they're going to make a splitter. Some of them have three outputs, some of them have four. All you got to do is Google it and you'll find out what's available. Gets pretty strange out there, but I'm sure we can handle it. All right, let's get into some apps of the day. This is a great app. I tried this out. I was very impressed with it for a smartphone to do this. Wow. This is available on your Android operating system. This is called Text-to-Speech. This is really cool, and it works offline, but this is a voice generator. It will be most useful to you. You can use it as a voicemail in your YouTube videos, or as a voicemail in advertising videos, or you can share the sounds that's created. You can use it whenever a human voice is required. Literally, you type and speak. That's what happens. You type it in, and as you're typing it in, it speaks. It's really cool, and you have a couple different voices to share or to choose from, and really works well. Right now, it's free. I don't know how long it's going to last at that price, but if you want to play with this and see how it works, it's quite responsive. It's very impressive. All right. Our next app is available on the Apple Store. So it's going to be for the iOS operating system, your iPod, or your iPhone. And this is called BG Colors. Kind of a neat app, if you will. You're going to create all kinds of crazy wallpapers, and you got 40 presets, and you can customize this. Really nice. You can actually mix different colors and get gradients. You can pick a specific color. You can add calendars for up to 2 months. It has a lock screen on it. And for the price, which is free, you want to spice up your phone. I mean, these are really nice color combinations. And you can see they go from like a magenta to a deep purple here. And it just makes things easier to see and more pleasing to look at. So you may want to check that app out. This next app really is for anybody who wants it, but the kids go crazy with this stuff. And you have grandkids or kids or whatever, friends that have kids. Sticker Creator. Everybody likes stickers. Everybody likes stickers. This is a free app, so why not? Sticker Creator, you can create a sticker and share it. Pretty straightforward. You can make all kinds of sticker packs, and you can use these, the graphics on WhatsApp or iMessage or whatever it is that you want. And these types of things are highly creative. Unbelievable. 5.5 stars out of 5. You will never see 5 stars out of 5 rating. They just don't do it. So it is pretty good. Our next app is Safety Photo and Video Pro. This thing was typically 10 smackaronis, $9.99 to be exact, available for the iPad and iPhone, if you will. This is going to give you the opportunity to make all those crazy kind of locks, if you will, pattern locks. You have multiple password potentials, if you like, and you can create all kinds of photo albums with this particular app. Safety Photo and Video lets you keep your most private images and photos and videos completely private. And you can create whatever combinations to padlock it that you want, totally free. This is the time to pick this up. I guarantee you 2-3 weeks from now, this particular app will not be free. Trust me on that. All right, Another app, really nice iPhone app, fabulous web to pics, web page, and screenshots. This thing works quite well. I'm shocked how well this works. Capture selected or full web pages, screenshots. This is what I like. Not only can you get the screenshots, but you can mark them up and share them with anybody. Take visible area screenshots of web pages. Take full-length screenshots of entire web pages. Add annotations on the captured screen. Save your screenshots into the photo gallery. And you can also share these screenshots with anyone you like. This is a nice app, and you'll find it comes in very handy, particularly if you're surfing the web and you find some stuff and you want to annotate it and send it to someone with your notes on it. It's very, very nicely done, very simple to use, and right now, and I don't know how long that will last, it is 100% free. All right, our next app is definitely a repeat app, folks. It is, again, free, available for the iOS operating system. I had a actually I had two requests in the last 2 weeks. What was that app that erased people from photos? It's called Magic Photo Eraser. It is free, and I don't know if you can see the person jumping up and down there, but basically you draw a square around it and you click return, and voila, they're gone. So if you need that, that is where you get it. This is free. It is called Magic Photo Eraser. And now, folks, I'm going to go on a rant. If I was back in the studio in Scottsdale, I'd have the big screen come up. But things changed this week in terms of timing, so I am here in Prescott. And I know I promised Mr. Brett Atkins a tour of the studio, and I will do that hopefully next week. But I got a rant right now. I'm fuming, so I have to go back to Rhode Island on some business. No big deal. And I went to make flight arrangements and hotel arrangements. I got to tell you, what used to take 1 minute, maybe 5 minutes, took me over an hour, and I was beside myself. Typically, when I fly from Phoenix, Arizona to Rhode Island, to the airport there in Providence, Rhode Island, flights are typically anywhere 150 to 250-ish. Right now, they are $500 round trip. That's a lot. That's a lot. So, I'm sorry, that's one way was $500. Excuse me, one way. It used to be a direct flight. Now there's two flights. Okay with the price. I'm okay with everything else. So I went on Travelocity, and they're all like this. Expedia is probably worse. And this is just my experience, but I don't get it. So I looked through the flights. There used to be flights that would leave like at 8 in the morning, and you'd get there, you know, 5, 6, 7 at night. It's typically a 5-7 hour flight-ish, whatever. It is what it is. So now the flights have all changed, and you can get there in a reasonable amount of time, but on the way back, the flights are like 9 and 10 hours, so that really, really irked me. It didn't matter what you pay. There's no flights available. I used to fly Southwest direct, 2 flights a day direct, no more. Then I used to fly direct to Newark and drive. That's a pain in the neck. Long story short, I ordered the tickets, okay? Ticket price, $500. It kills me, so I buy it. Then it clicks you to the next screen, and it says, do you want insurance? If you want insurance, it's another $50 per ticket. And that kind of pisses me off, but it is what it is. And I didn't get the insurance yet. Then I clicked again, and it said, you can buy for another $30 or $40. Your luggage will be checked. And then they had another tier. You can select your seats. And then they had another tier. You can select your seats. You can get your luggage. And you can have cancellation. That's what I want, because I cancel stuff all the time. I know this is a long story. So I clicked that, and then I figured I'm going to be done. I'm going to go to the checkout. No. Then it clicks, what seats do you want? And I'm here like, all right, I like an aisle seat. And I look, and they're all X'd out, and there's a bunch of seats there that have like 40, 30, 20. And I'm like, what is this? I just paid for the airfare. Now they're charging me for the seats. Man, I got to tell you, I was ready to rip the computer to shreds. I am so annoyed with that. They're charging me $500 for a ticket. They're charging me for the insurance. They're charging me extra for cancellation. I just paid $500. Now they're charging me for the freaking seats? You got to be kidding me. Anyway, now that I got it off my chest, I think I'm more annoyed. Anyway, I thought you would enjoy the story. And the bottom line is, you got to sit somewhere. And I guess if you don't choose your seats, you're going to end up in the very back of the plane, which at this point, I don't care. But that was another, like, another $100 to pick seats because I had two flights. It's not the same seat. First flight, you got to pick and pay for that flight. That stops. You got an hour layover. Then you got to buy the seat again. Then you got to buy the first leg on the way home. And then you got to buy for the second leg on the way home. I'm paying like $250 extra on top of the $500 for a seat. If we would all stop paying for the seats and just let them sit us where we want, they wouldn't be getting this money. It's a ripoff. And the Gadget Professor is very annoyed at that. I hope you enjoyed today's show. And we'll see everybody next week.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain.
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.